Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network.
This is Alicia Carr with Women Tech Talk, and today's episode we'll be talking about the movie Code: Debugging the Gender Gap that came out in 2015. And I've been trying to get access to this movie, being that it was a documentary and it came out in the movie theaters for a little while, and then it just like disappeared. And so you only could find it actually on the internet, and you had to pay for it. And gradually I totally forgot about it, and just so happened had a team of people at the house doing a documentary on me. And just so happened Cassandra, who worked for GitHub, was also one of the, I think, the producers or one of the people in the back end of the movie, and she reminded me of it, and I went looking for it and just so happened to find it on Netflix and watched it and was emotional. I thought it was a great movie, speaking on what's going on in the world and women in technology. I asked my husband, I said, "Hey, babe, can you watch the movie with me again and let's talk about it?" And so we watched the movie again, and you know, I found other parts of the movie that I thought, I mean, documentary, I keep saying movie, it's a documentary, that I thought was very resourceful, because back in 2015, it, I mean, people didn't take it, you know, really didn't see it like it was that important. Now it's in 2016. It is definitely in need for it to be seen all over again because of the problems that the actual documentary show is actually going on right now. Back then, it probably was very subtle that it was going on, but now it's like if you got every major tech company being called out. And this actually hits on a lot of subjects that not only that I talk at conferences, but also what women are going through. So, Michael, my darling husband, what did you think overall about the documentary?
Sue, I enjoyed it. I thought looking at it, it was interesting because it was a lot of things you've been talking about. There's a lot of things that you actually did the research and we discussed. A lot of things that you experienced, and there's a lot of stuff that's actually going on within the last 2 years. So this was in 2015, it's 2017 now. And it's like it's coming up every other week. And that's not even counting the ones that's not even being reported. But there was just so much in there that let me know about the unconscious bias. And it starts from very, very young with a young girl to when they feel they're successful and find there's another challenge. So really kind of felt bad because there's just things that sometimes you don't look at and realize that you have a bias as a man, and even some women that sees young girls as being just young girls. And there's a stereotype of what they supposed to like, as opposed to allowing them to like what they want to like and giving them options. But our biases always goes toward gender. And it's really interesting that they kind of showed some of that in there and made you think about how are you approaching young girls at an early age until they got into the years of schooling and actually exposure. And the exposure gets them to say yes, no, or indifferent.
Well, you know, when I was watching it the first time, that was the first thing that came to me. And I was like, okay, I need to change my whole presentation. This is the biggest part of what's going on in technology right now. Like you said, young girls. I mean, because when I was younger, it was never about the science, you know. It was always, you're a little girl, you want Barbie dolls, you want a kitchen, you want to do the little girl's things, you want the makeup. And being told that you are a little girl, then you should act like a little girl. I remember times that I played with, you know, the toy trucks in the cars and told, you know, that's boys, that's for boys, you shouldn't be playing with this.
Yeah.
And so, and you see how they put in the Barbie dolls and how they create that book, you know, for girls could be a software engineer. And then in there they put, oh, I got a virus. in my computer and called two men to help her. It was like, what the hell? To me as a woman and other women who are in technology, if you're a software engineer, that's the one thing you should be putting in your in there about your computer getting a virus. You should be talking about the fact that as a woman engineer, Barbie's doing this, Barbie's creating that, taking the steps how to build it. And so the makers of Mattel,
right,
there must have not been a woman who wrote that book.
Yeah, it was obvious that it was. Because we have children. We have two girls and we have a boy. And giving them gender-related toys. We got them to read, so it was a lot of reading. But immediately, they start saying trucks and, you know, Lego. That's why Legos is so popular, because you build from that. And when you build, that's just like coding. You put build things together, and then the end product is that. So if girls are using Legos, they're building. If you don't always say little girls need to have dolls, if you can say, yeah, you can have a doll, but I want you to do this. Because we didn't jump into computers as hard until later on when they got into their probably teen. And then, you know, it's kind of hard to manipulate them from that.
Now, remember, I was doing this in Virginia. Yes. Remember, I had computers in the house.
I'm not saying that if they weren't exposed to it. I'm saying in our mind, it wasn't something that we looked at.
Because back in that time, that was how things were.
We were never exposed to saying, teach young girls this. If you're not exposed to that, then how could you know what you should be doing in that way? Mathematics and science. And then when what the documentary showed too was, even when the household was fine with it, you still had teachers and other educators who still had that gender bias to say, you're not gonna be good at that. And it continued on to a cycle. So they had a good high school that got them into computer science. Then when they got college, that's not good for you. You should change your major. Then if they were successful in college and then they got a job, it was still, yo, maybe this is not the job you should have. So it was just continuous. And, you know, the critics, not the official critics, but the users that they was criticizing, they only look in a vacuum and see, well, where I'm at, there's plenty of people around. We're not just talking about the single place where you're at. If you look at the statistics, it clearly states there's not enough women everywhere. And you always said, and went through it in the documentary too, there's too many apps that's not contributed by women. And you can see that there's no woman's touch involved whatsoever. They had a portion in there that talked about the airbags. The engineer team was a whole bunch of men. So when airbags was blowing up, people were getting injured and they were dying because the physical frame of women is different. You have to make those accommodations. And if you don't have women in the room, then they're not going to change anything. They're just going to say, this is good for everyone. And what it showed me was, it's a systemic mindset in our society, basically. And if these kind of documentaries aren't talked about, if people like yourself ain't out there going to these schools, having these conferences, speaking out about that, they're never going to realize, wow, I didn't know things was like that. And remember how you went into the history. They had just two different women with history.
Yeah, they had Grace Hopper.
Grace Hopper and Lovelace.
Yeah, Ada Lovelace.
Yeah.
Ada Lovelace.
So, yeah, which was way from the beginning, but they were pioneers. And these pioneers put software and engineering and technology in that sense on the map that men took over. Because remember, you were saying it's an admin. That's how men saw it. It was an admin task. And then they said, we can make the hardware all day long, but it won't work without the software. So then they migrated back. And then when they migrated back, men just took over once again. But when you saw this and you looking at it too, did you see the things that you're talking about that they were bringing up?
I mean, I changed my talk based on this documentary.
In what way?
Because I realized that I needed to talk more on unconscious bias. And that's really what the main issue is. Now, when we talk about going into the tech community, because men don't see the things they're doing right now. But overall, you know, it really has changed the way I was thinking when I was doing my first presentation.
So how did you think initially, as opposed to knowing that you had to change your talk?
The way I seen I needed to present it now was
before.
Before, I wanted to bring attention to the issues of what's going on in the workplace in the tech community.
So you was giving information.
Basically. Right. Basically, that's what I, you know, basically information, but not realizing that it needs to be about a person that is experiencing unconscious bias for them to see that there is an issue with unconscious bias.
So what was a couple of examples that you saw within the documentary that made you say, oh, unconscious bias?
Well, about the hula hoops.
Yeah, so that was pretty fucked up.
Yeah, the hula hoops was one thing. And so, the other one...
Before you go, I want to ask you about that. So there were women twirling around hula hoops, and there was like benches of guys sitting there watching.
Mm-hmm.
So personally, I'm like, that's pretty fucked up. You know, and y'all guys just sitting there Googling at them or whatever. What about the women, though?
I don't think they realized what was really going on. So, hula hoop is one of those things that women, when we little girls, we used to play with.
Yeah.
So, you know, two girls are doing it in front of them, you know, so it's like, let's see who could do it longer. And so not realizing they were watching them.
So that's strange to me because, you know, this woman came in there, she saw it from a distance. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So she saw it clearly like, this is crazy. These guys is just, if they was just throwing dollars out there, it'll look like a strip club. But what confused me is why the women didn't acknowledge that these guys were just sitting there staring at them.
Well, they didn't allow her to go into it.
I got that.
But, I could just assume that the girls were just having a good time and they were just kept doing it and not paying attention who was watching them.
Right. And there's a lot of times that, you know, people aren't paying attention because their intent isn't to, hey, look, I'm doing a hula hoop for you. I'm doing it. Me and my friend is doing that. But again, they're just sitting around and the guys is like, yo, look at Ann and such and such. Mm-hmm. And they'll just sit there and just watch them and, you know, objectify them in that way. And I just thought that was pretty fucked up. And I was like, I would be like, what are y'all doing? Yo, check them out. Yo, man, y'all get to work.
Yeah.
That's what should have happened.
Right.
Get to work.
In the tech community, they don't do things
But
like
there's
that.
Always a casual environment in the tech environment. We've been in too many of their buildings and seen that you know, they got their open area, they got their area that they eat, they got their area that they chill.
Mm-hmm.
They got so much casual time in between working that it's just kind of different to say, you know, get to work, because they can get to work at any time.
Right.
You know, so that was one. What was another that kind of stood out for you?
The other one was when they did a survey on how the women didn't like the little paperclip from.
That was, yeah, yeah.
And the men was like, I don't understand.
I don't understand. I don't see anything wrong with that.
And what's so fucked up, I hear that all the time. I don't understand. I don't understand why women like this. And I don't understand. I'm like, dude, you're not a woman and you don't know. Y'all just assume that y'all know everything about what a woman is going through. And we tell you that you're wrong and you still tell us that we're wrong.
Yeah. No, they just don't want to accept it because in their mind, they're right. And I just thought that was, you know, if y'all don't remember, Microsoft had this stupid little helper paperclip that came up. It was the most aggravating thing to me. And I didn't look at it gender-wise, but it was just aggravating. But when you're programming something and you're putting it on a program or a platform or whatever, you got to take your users in consideration. And they didn't. There was these 9 men and 1 woman, and the 9 men said, we're good. Let's ship out 6 different paperclip. And she was like, but you did the homework and you did all of this. She said $100,000 worth of research. And they said 90% of the women didn't like the paperclip.
Right, they didn't. Because
it said it's a bunch of men.
Yeah.
And they was like, I don't get it. I don't understand.
And I think what was interesting is that there was, she was said there was 18 men and her one, herself. Yeah. That to me was like, wow.
So that was fucked up in itself.
Yes, it was.
Because then they're probably looking at her and, you know, again, bias. Why she got to be a bitch about it? I don't think it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But like I always say, if data is there, you have to address the data. That don't address the opinion, address the data. They didn't want to address the data. They just felt that the data had to be wrong.
Yeah, it had to be wrong.
Because we were right.
Yeah,
the women. How could the data be right? I can't be right and the data be wrong. I mean, and be right? That doesn't work.
That was the funny part. That was funny. That was really, really, I'm like, you know.
But one of the other things that stood out, when they did a survey at Stanford, they told all of the, it was half women and half men. And they told all of them, this is hard and most people aren't really going to get through it as good.
Right.
And the men was worried that they weren't smart enough and they'll probably be part of the group that wasn't going to do well. So they had that.
Right.
But then they said with the women, they not only had that, but they was questioning themselves to say, maybe I shouldn't be here. So women had another level of scrutiny on themselves.
Right.
Other than what the men had. And they scored lower than the men. And the men scored lower, but the women scored lower than them. But when they brought them all back in and they said, hey, you know, based on this survey that we got with previous people, women did really, really well on these. And the women matched up with the men.
Right.
So they acknowledged their bias was gone and their scrutiny on themselves was gone because it was told that you're good enough because we got data to say that women are good with it. But outside of that, women has a second level of scrutiny that they're worrying about because they got to compete on too many levels.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, just the fact of saying it, you know, initiated things in the women's brain to say, oh, man, not sure. Oh, hey, can I do this? Will I be able to do it and everything?
And because of that negativity that they have in their brain, basically, they didn't know. They just gave up on taking the test. They took the test, but
no, but they just wasn't. They didn't give up. They just was unsure.
Right.
So they went through the whole test being unsure. And when you're unsure, half the time you got the right answers, but you question your right answer because you want to be right. So it just gets harder based just on you second guessing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because they gave you an initial comment that made you rethink, you know, but they came up there was the actual harassment issue was coming up, too many issues that women who was strong-minded and women who was trying to get into the field, they were telling them, no, you can't do that, or was giving them a harder time. And it was just a lot that seeing it just further confirmed your conversations that you had with women. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Overall, you just thought what, Ben?
You know, I talked to so many women, and I mean, hearing their stories and hearing their situations, it relates so much to the documentary. You know, the young lady coming out of school, figuring out that, oh my God, I love to code, and taking a minor in computer science, which I thought was like, that's amazing, because a lot of women don't really know how good they are until they, you know, put their hands on something and realize they can code. I love the fact that they talk to Black Girls Code. And, you know, that's a growing organization where they're going into so many different communities. And I don't even think they have a location here in Atlanta, but they're growing. And they need that exposure to get to young Black girls, to get them exposure. Because like the little girl said, I didn't know I could build an app. And I can build this app. And this is what I want to do. And that's because you have to let them see that basically it's fun to code. It's fun to do it because they don't show the fun of coding. They just say, okay, here's the code and this is what you could do with it. And when you start to see how much fun it is, you start to say, hell, I can make a lot of shit doing this, you know, if I put, you know, the effort into it. And so you're starting to see more organizations focusing on young girls as far as exposing them to code. Another thing that is motivating the young girls. Because a lot of them don't feel they need to be motivated. They need to be just have the just have to believe in themselves that they could do it. And there's a lot of stuff that's going on that's not helping girls like that happen to get that strength. So I love that part of what they were doing, talking to the young girls, talking to the teenage girls, you know, saying how one girl's like, she went to her father's job and met the ninja.
Ninja coder.
Yeah, she was so excited. She's like, I want to be like them. Well, I want to be like them, but I want to be a woman. I want to be a girl to be like them. You know, I want to be a queen ninja, which I thought that was amazing. And again, we have to get more exposure to these communities, and just seeing it, because you know it's back in 2015. We talk about 2017, and it has to get that exposure. It has to happen. So that was one part I liked too about the documentary as well, just the showing the young girls, showing how young girls react to when they put their hands on code.
Yeah, so I looked at it that, you know, it's going to take a whole lot, because this was in 15. You really didn't see any movement in 16.
No, you didn't.
And now we still seeing small increments in 17. This is ridiculous. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. And they said around 2021 or 2020 something, they're going to need over a million.
Yeah, I think she said 2026.
Oh, 20. I forgot that. But yeah. I know it was over 20. They're going to need over a million something new coders or programmers. And we're not doing anything to get to that point. With the way they're doing the immigrants not able to come in and these visas and everything, it's got to be homegrown. And every guy isn't going to want to code. You're going to have to be very diverse. Every white male isn't going to be a coder. So what are they going to do?
Well, right now, the problem is that you got a bunch of these white males that's coming from college and not thinking about, okay, you know, I don't need, women. We got the best coders right here. And continues to bring men into their business. And the thing is that right now we're talking about, everybody's being called out in tech. Every tech company, I mean, you could think of as being called out for some form of diversity, unconscious bias, something. They all are being called out
because it's happening every damn day.
And yeah, exactly.
So crazy.
Exactly.
It's just showing that if you don't tell these people, this is what you're doing, they're really not going to know. They don't even realize they're doing it.
Yeah. Like she was saying, it's like, okay, you have to bring attention to the fact that it's before that Google shit. In the documentary, they were talking about the fact that they were considering it science. Somebody else said it was a science that women aren't, about technology. And we was like, hold up a second. No. It's not a science. It's not have nothing to do with science. It has everything to do with unconscious bias. You know,
No, it don't have everything to do with conscious. The problem is they're saying biology. That's what they're trying to do. Mental and all of that. These women on this documentary clearly stated, if you don't give the women exposure, they're going to be behind anyway. One of the young girls said she went to one of the little classes for programming. She was 12, and she showed up that it was 16-year-old boys inside of there.
Yeah, and she
that's been doing it for years.
Yeah, since they were 10 years old.
But she's just starting, and she said she felt she was behind. If we don't give women equal exposure at the equal amount of time, they're going to be behind. It's not because they're women. It's because of exposure. And then what was that? The woman from Atlanta, I forgot what college she was from. And she was like, if it's about that, then why all of a sudden we have more women now than we ever had before? Because if it was physiology or anything genetically back then, what has changed to make more women more smarter and better right now?
Mm-hmm.
She said, because it's false. And it's what they just feel. It's what they feel and the lack of exposure for women. So when you say it's all about unconscious, that's the other half. The other half is exposure. If we give women the equal amount of exposure to, here's a computer, and Billy, there's a computer. Well, what do I do with it? Well, let me show Billy, and I'll show you. Well, I'll show you, then I'll show Billy. Well, Billy don't need no help. Well, I need for you to look at this because I want to have the same amount of exposure. Because there's a lot of guys, and I think we saw this or heard it at one of the keynotes or whatever, that lots of boys get exposure with working on cars.
Yeah.
So they get the opportunity to tinker with things in that way. So when they tinkering with computers and they tinkering with stuff, and young girls are, no, don't get dirty. Your shoes is this, look pretty. And that's what we gear them toward, except for the intellectual side of saying, be smart and be creative. You can create when you code.
Yes, you can.
And you don't have to physically do that. You can, you know, mentally do that. And I think that's the one thing that made me think like, wow, because of the lack of my exposure, I didn't give my children the opportunity to say, here's a better option, or here's another option. Here's a language. Remember, we saw that they were saying it should be in the schools as a language.
Yes, and what it is, and also they don't give credit to.
Yeah, did you see that bullshit?
Yeah, they don't give credit to schools that have the computer science.
Yes, computer science isn't a course that gives you credit for graduating, and it is. There's schools that don't have it as a major degree, so. The opportunity for everyone to be equal, if you go to a different school and they don't have that, then you go into another engineering degree and not a computer science degree. It's stacked against most women.
Yeah, because, I mean, I had one school call me, I think it was last year. It was college, and they kept wanting somebody to come teach coding to them. Like, women code don't teach no code. We don't teach code. You need, I mean, so, which was sad. Was you coming to an organization that says women who code, which help women who were already in the system, you know, and you're saying, I said, well, I can send you to somebody else, but no, we don't teach code. And this is where they were saying where there was in the documentary where they was looking for certified teachers in computer science to teach code.
Right.
There isn't any.
You can barely find them.
Yeah, it really.
I mean, you really, like, to your point. You know, they said it in there. We talked about it even when we was in Italy. You know, when you see all these women that are coders, you're like, wow, look at all these women. And a lot of them don't have the bigger opportunity. They're at least lucky to be working.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad because, you know, when the documentary started, they were asking the girls that said, so when you think of people who does programming and coded, what do you think of? And they all said, boys. It's already in their mind. Even the media. And they went back to, remember when we used to see all of these movies, the hackers are always the guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
War Games. All of these movies, all the hackers were men and young boys. You never seen women hackers. Now you're seeing it like in, you know, Green Arrow has one. Remember the girl with the dragon tattoo was a major, major hit. You got them in like CSI. You got women programmers that are out there and coders. They're showing them like it doesn't have to be the male geek all the time.
And that's There's true.
Women that can do it.
That's true. But then, okay, I mean, I think that the main thing is that another thing that they brought attention to, and which is a main issue as well, is that there was a huge number of women coming into computer science, and then you just see then it go down.
Drop out.
And the reason is that they feel uncomfortable in the workplace.
It's the environment. And it's the environment that, sadly, the CEOs and even the HR is not aware of it.
Yeah.
Because, let's go back to what you keep going back and forth over. It's the unconscious bias. And they don't realize that they have it. They really don't realize. Exposure is from the beginning. That gets them into it. What keeps them into it is when you take away the unconscious bias. That's where they can live after that's taken away. If you don't take that away, these guys will always see new CEO comes in. What are all these women doing here? Except for saying, damn, I got a really good, diverse team. The first thing in their biased mind is, we got a lot of women here. What's all these women doing here? And it's not intentionally, but that bias that they have is, I don't normally see a lot of women in here. What's wrong?
I mean, and in the documentary, when the guy said he got a new job and he came to Estee, you know, and then he went to the engineering part, he was like, damn.
No. Before he went to the engineering department, he was like, wow, this is great. So all the diversity around, these women in charge here, and whatever. But then when he went to the engineer part,
he was like,
same old white male group.
Yeah, exactly.
Something's got to change.
Yes, exactly. And he created a program to train the women, or pull women from certain group and put them in a like, I think it was like an apprenticeship or an internship. It's probably was an apprenticeship program to get them to the level to be that, a part.
And it went from 3% to 30%.
Yes.
So that tells you women are capable.
Yes.
If you give them the opportunity.
Yeah, but they were willing to make that change. Because
they said they put a lot of money and a lot of training, but it paid off.
Right, it did. And they're one of the diverse companies out there. And so the thing is, are other companies willing to go the length to do that?
So let's go back to what you were saying months ago that you was trying to create. There's companies that can't even see what's in front of them. They can't see that they don't have a diverse culture in their business. When you're in the tech industry, and I'm going to stick with tech because I have plenty of examples outside that, but when you're in the tech community, it's about being creative. And if you got a creative man, creative woman, a creative African American, a creative Asian descent, when you have that, when you push out a product, you can market it to all of those aspects. When you have a single aspect of white males, it's only going to be what they feel is right.
Yeah, I mean, and that's true. But I have to like keep reminding myself to tell or say it in my talk that more women who put their hands on product than men.
Yeah.
And so.
You know what? You haven't done that enough.
Yeah. And I have to remind myself to say that all the time. More women put their hands on more product than men. I mean, it's just
programs, all of that.
It's the little girls be talking about it. I mean, and it's something that you have to ingrain in these, because if I remember correct, they said in the documentary, it's like they seem to forget that they need the women. I think in some part he was saying, I forgot what he said, but he was saying that it's women are needed right now, because if it's like the products are out there and women are the ones that are the mostly use the products. And I think that, like I said, I think it was an example when the mannequins, the dummies in the cars. Mm-hmm. I think it was something around in
it's
that.
It's like a revolved around in that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because there's just products that, you know, a group of men are just sitting around and saying, this should be good for everybody. So when that professor said, women and men are different and that's why they can't be well, men and women are different. But you got to have them in the room to make those kind of decisions. You can't make them on your own as a man or as a white man. You can't make them on your own. And this, the documentary tried to break it all the way down to saying you have to have inclusiveness within your company in order to have a successful product.
Yeah, and because the woman's like, you know, the girls are on Facebook and they're on Twitter and they're on Instagram. And yet you want to exclude them from, you know, technology. And you just can't do that. Because Tim Cook said something. He said, if you were to eliminate women from technology, then there won't be technology. In some way, he was saying it that way.
Yeah. So, unconscious bias. The bias that's ingrained in people is a major issue.
Yeah, baby.
Until you educate them to the point of saying, okay, turn around. I want you to look at what's going on.
And see, that's why I was kept, that's why I said that I had to talk about unconscious bias.
No. You made a good switch, though.
I mean,
I think you made a great switch.
And I mean, it's that important to the tech community to make awareness. It's not just for, I mean, like, not just for men, but for women. So it's, you know, when I talk about it, I'm talking about it for overall everybody, you know, because we do have women who have issues too now, you know,
but they grew up in that environment.
Yeah.
And they don't know any better to say, well, you know, you're a good engineer, but I don't think you'll get far. Why not? Well, I've been in this industry for a long time and I don't think most women, you can't say that. You can't say that. Because you never know what a woman can do unless you give them the opportunity. And when you restrict them with that kind of talk, all they do is, the more you do it, the more they feel that maybe they're right, which is wrong.
Yeah. So, I mean, the documentary was really good. I definitely took something else out of it the second time around. The first time was the unconscious bias, because it just was just thrown right in my face, you know, everything that I was seeing. And this time around, it's emphasizing to remind, you know, seeing how the issue is in the work environment, you know, because you hear so much about the work environment. And you can tell that the women who were actually in the documentary loved the code.
Oh, every single one of them either loved the code or wanted to code.
Yeah.
Or wanted to do more.
Yes.
And felt that there's more that they can actually do. But the environment they under is restricting them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The environment, the culture. You know, we talked about culture.
Yeah, culture is another.
That's the new buzzword of I don't want to hire you, or
you don't fit the culture. You don't fit the culture.
So, you know, what we're doing here is really good, but you the way you do things just doesn't fit the culture of everyone here.
And which is like you said, it's just another way of it's another way of firing somebody.
Not hiring.
I had somebody who got hired and then told her, you just don't fit the culture, and then fire her. She was there a week.
Damn. So, you're absolutely right.
So, there are things that they're using just blatantly as an excuse to let people go. And I read an article from the CEO from Power to Fly. And she actually had a black woman who interviewed for a software engineer at a company. Mm. And she's like, the black woman said every person she interviewed was a white male. She said in the article that they did not ask me about coding. But before I left, they told me, you don't fit the culture, so we're not going to hire you. But she just pulled her resume from the batch. And so with Power to Fly, they're dealing with that issue.
You're not the only one though, baby.
But this is an organization that help place women in jobs.
Yeah, I get that.
And so they got me to interview with a major company as well. And so in the same situation, you know, it was like, I just knew that after the whole interview was over, I was going to get it anyway. Because I knew the person, and, you know, and I guess that because of that, I was not going to get the job either way.
Right. And they probably, and this is the sad part, the person you knew was part of the interviewing team, they were probably like, oh, sure, bring her in. But when you didn't look like what they wanted, that's when they just said, no, thanks a lot. Because I don't think they would have even wasted the time.
No, he knew me. We seen each other. We meet each other. He saw my app. He touched my app.
But was he the hiring authority, though?
Yes, he was.
Was he the only hiring authority?
Yes, he was.
So then wasted your time. I don't get that.
Yeah.
So to me, that's not an unconscious bias.
No, it wasn't unconscious bias. No.
That, to me, anytime. Let me give you an example. And
I'm not saying that was an unconscious bias. No, I'm just saying.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm not saying that.
But see, I'm just looking at what women has to go through more than men or black men or whatever. Women go through it more because, first of all, they want a young woman. They always want a young woman. Second, they want someone that is not as aggressive. So they want that as well. And then sometimes they want a white woman, because if I'm going to get a woman, I want to put, they got to check off all of these things.
Yeah, white young woman.
Yeah, because they can get a lot more from it. You don't have a seasoned woman that said, no, you're going to fucking pay me because here's my skill set. I'm not coming here to BS. I'm coming here to work. No, we got a laid back community right here. Yeah, but you're going to put the pressure on me to say I'm not good enough. But when I'm pushing everybody to get the job done, then I'm a bitch. Remember the one in the documentary, she had to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she was like, this environment.
I think she was working at GitHub.
Yeah, I think it was GitHub.
Yeah, it was at GitHub.
And then as soon as she put in her resignation,
yeah,
they was calling her, oh, this cunt and all of this and all of that.
Yeah, you had the trolls.
The queen and all of this.
You had the trolls harassing
But they
her.
Were always there.
Yeah.
And the sad part is they were always there. And that's the environment that women are under. And it's just, it's back to that point that we talked about way long ago, that men don't check men. It's going to continue.
Yes, exactly.
If men don't check men, it's going to continue.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and those
if you're disrespecting women and just think it's cool, but then you have to question women who are being disrespectful to say, look, that's not cool. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, because thinking that maybe the younger generation has changed and they ain't no better than the older generation, just younger. You understand what I'm saying?
I think it's a little bit.
The men, the younger men are not.
It's a little better. And the only reason why I say it's a little better is because there's a sense of acceptance, but there's a sense of what will you accept?
So just putting them on the spot, actually.
You kind of do. And
they're a little bit more easier to work with to try to make a change than if you had these older men who basically
was raised that way.
Yeah, don't want to change. Yeah, I got you. Okay, I could see that happen because yes, you.
That's
do.
Not 100% though, baby. Don't get me wrong.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. But then again, when you call out the younger generation, their fear is we got to fix that shit because
you're gonna call me out.
Because now they're saying that if a lot of I think we talked about it or I heard it somewhere we actually had a talk about it. At a conference, which is the VCs are not going to be investing in these companies if they don't get their shit together as far as, what is it, diversity and inclusion. Because mm-hmm. they're saying that we can lose money if we don't do it off the back right now.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I agree. And that's what people don't understand. So just like we was talking about the NFL don't start correcting certain things, they're going to continue to lose money.
Yeah, because now it's like they're calling them out, hey, people are protesting the NFL. Like, okay, shit. Oh, that's new.
Yeah, but it's not new. But the impact is new.
Mm-hmm.
Because if people, they track everything. They track an NFL game. So if the viewership is dropping, there's a reason why it's dropping. So if there's something that they see on social media that my company has a crew of people who watch social media, they already on it. They on it all the time. You can't tell me the NFL doesn't see social media and people saying, I'm not watching football. I don't appreciate this. I'm telling my family. Oh, I'm arguing with these people. So there's just controversy like this. The tech community, sadly, there's just so many people that don't see what they're doing is wrong.
But see, this is
they don't see it.
But this is the thing. The tech companies are being held at a higher standard than a lot of other companies that may be going through the same thing.
They are. Because remember, you said like Walmart.
Yeah, there's a couple of other
companies. All the other companies.
There's a couple of other companies that's going through it.
I had to tell the guys when we were talking, I was like, Walmart had a major lawsuit for years about women managers.
Not being paid equal. Yeah.
Equal. Then all of a sudden, they settled and like, you got it. Because sure the other portion came up, which was equal pay. And they was like, we ain't paying y'all no equal pay. We're going to keep y'all part-time. And before y'all get full-time, we'll cut you and we'll hire somebody else. So they had so many people that was hired that no one was full-time. But yet they had to stay on the clock overtime without getting overtime to finish their work.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they raised their minimum wage, everybody had to do it.
Yeah. But I mean, so that's where the whole issue is, where I'm like, I mean, I said that in my talk too. It's like, I said, y'all, we need to get shit straightened out because they're holding tech companies at a higher standard than any other company.
But and that's what it is.
And that's, you know, and it's for us, we are the tech community.
Yep.
So we have to fix this. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, that was one of the things I did say, which was very important. I'm like, dude, you know, like I told him, I said, dude, if y'all know you're a bunch of men in the team, put one woman in there. See the number change. The number will change just by putting, if it's 10 of y'all, you put one of y'all in there, the number will change in your company as, okay, so we got just a little pinched up there. for raising the diversity inclusion level.
But it's not about just adding to a number. It's adding value. And the problem is a lot of these companies want to change a number, but not realizing that women add value.
Right. And that's exactly.
That's the bigger issue.
Right, right.
Well, let's just hire four women. Hire four good women, dude. Hire four good women.
Well, you know,
not the four women who just walked through the door.
Well, see, that's the thing. They'll hire four women, but that doesn't mean they're putting them in the right group. That's
yeah,
one.
Exactly.
Okay, so two.
Or, well, I'm just starting. Well, we're putting you on one of the major projects. She's just starting. How is she going to be successful when you have expectation that's higher than a seasoned person?
Well, again, this is what is being said. You know, you say, I don't want to lower my standards when hiring a woman. You automatically think that you, when you hire a woman, your standards are coming down low.
Which
period.
Is bullshit.
Right.
Exactly.
So, you know, and then again, you're talking about, okay, yeah, you bring a white man with potential, but yet you have women and minorities that have more skill set and probably more experience than he is.
They don't have potential. They have the skill.
Yes.
Why take a potential guy when you have someone who's capable? There's a difference between capability and potential.
And it's happening, and it continues
all
to happen.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time. I mean, I'm hearing all these women's stories on, you know, just how, and I'm hearing men talk about, well, how we put our jobs out, Career Fair, Munster, Indeed. That's like, and we women, skilled women, will look at that, your job description and say they wouldn't be qualified. You expect for them to say, just like any man would apply for a job, that a woman would do the same. That's not how it works.
So let's make it simpler than that. Let's make it a lot more simple. So I put it everywhere, and we're just not getting the women to come in. And when the women come in, you know, they're just not capable. Here's the problem. Here's how simple it is. Women are telling women they're not hiring women there. They're going to talk to you and treat you like shit and try to interrogate you and treat you like you don't know anything. So you don't think a woman's going to tell another woman, who is going to tell another woman, that this company really don't want to hire women. They just put it out there that
and,
way.
And Catherine put that out from Powderfly. Mm-hmm. The CEO of Powderfly said exactly that.
But I know that.
And what she said is that you have to, what they did was, one company did for potential women to hire women, they did a webinar and told them what the company's about, the environment, what they expect for them, what kind of skill set they had. And women apply to the jobs based on what they did.
So they don't have any preconceived notions or ideas that this company's messed up or anything that they may have heard in the past. They could say, they're reaching out to us. Maybe I will apply this time.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving us exactly what should be expected.
Right.
Maybe I should reach out to them.
And they did. And they said that they're doing another one.
That makes sense.
They're doing another webinar with the same thing.
Companies need to invest in the people coming in as well as if people that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not investing in, there's women in there that can be moved up because they're capable. But their bias is, she's not ready yet. Well, I don't know if the guys is going to respect her. They already saying, I don't care if the guys don't respect her. Here's the biggest thing that is a problem with most companies. They don't support their leaders. They leave leaders out on their own. And when they fail, they blame the leader, not the leader of the leader. The leader of the leaders should be supporting them to be successful.
Yeah.
And they never do that. They expect, when I make you a leader, you're on your own. Everyone ain't born a leader. People have a skill to lead people, or people have a skill that you're a great programmer or whatever. I told you for years, you're a good leader. Your problem is you don't want to lead, but you've been leading all the time. You just don't realize that you are a leader and you don't want to accept it. But when you accepted that you're a leader and you lead people to do things great, then you realize, you know, I have to lead them every now and then. I don't have to be always the leader, but I have the capability of leading a team, a group, an organization. You have that. But some people don't have aren't in that environment. I always say, show me how it's done then I can emulate success. If you don't see success, how are you going to be successful? You just don't out of the blue. There's people that probably can do that. Let me not say you can't do that. There's some people got a natural ability to be able to be leaders, natural ability to be coders. They have it. You can't never take that away from them. But a lot of people don't have both of those. And the bias for most men doesn't see women. It holds them back, which is, I think they said it on the documentary too. We got women that are coders and programmers. We now need to see them in leadership.
Yeah, that was the guy from SD. He was like, we need to move them up into leadership positions. And so, but that would be another program where he would have to, they would have to create.
And develop.
Yeah, but they also have to understand the flexibility in being a woman in technology that want to be in those kind of positions. When it comes to leadership positions, men have this thing about, well, women won't be there or work long hours to be in leadership position.
But you just stated a bias. You stated a bias by saying, well, women need the flexibility. Oh, they don't need the flexibility. You know why they don't need the flexibility? It's because everyone needs the flexibility.
No, because when women talk about leadership position and articles that I've read and found out that when women are considered or want to go into leadership position, the men bias is that one.
I didn't say the men bias. Did not say anything about men bias.
No, I'm saying it.
No, let me clearly give it back to you. You said women have to have flexibility.
Yes, if they're in a leadership position, they need the flexibility to be with family. They don't give them that. In leadership positions, men have, because men consider themselves working long hours and being there when need be, they expect the same from women. That's why a lot of women don't stay in leadership or go into leadership positions, because they don't give them the flexibility for family.
So let me make it clear once again, because you're still not getting it. I know what you said, and I know what they're saying in that matter. Men get flexibility, baby, whether you think so or not. They get it. You know why they get it? Because I see it all the time. I see it all the time. The bias in men is it's about women got to go home to see the family, or they got to check on their kids, and they got other issues to deal with. Women ain't all married. Women ain't all have kids. Women need flexibility just like men. And if I got time to be off, I need to fucking be off. If I got the time, that's not flexibility. That's the ability that I've earned in that position. But since men say, well, I'm here all the time, got you. If you're going to give away your time, that's on your ass. But I have allocated time that I'm taking. So they use that bias against women for taking the time that they already earned. Men have the same flexibility. They just don't want women to take it or use it as an excuse. They use it as an excuse for a woman, not the fact that they don't have flexibility. I got guys, Alicia.
I'm sick. I got a migraine. I got 2 days left. I want to go to...
What are you doing? You want to be promoted, but when the time for you to be in to do things, you're not here. But they got their time, and they use their time. You cannot take that away from them. You can't. But they use that against women. So men have flexibility. They just use flexibility thing against women. They just use it against them. So if women say, so you telling me that I can't use my sick time, I can't use my vacation time, when I'm working 12 and 14 hours a day, 5 and 6 days a week, and I leave in the middle of the day to take care of some things, you have a problem with that. You should never have a problem with that, because as a woman, I'm doing my goddamn job. But because men have bias against women, see, this is still bias against women. That's the problem. Women should never have to say, I need flexibility, because they do the job and they have the time. You can't take that away from them. Legally, you can't take that away from them.
Well, I understand legally.
I got that. But legally, I don't want to say morally. It's not morally, but in people's mind, managers shouldn't be taking as much time off. They should dedicate themselves to the job. You know what I mean? They should dedicate themselves to the job. That's why Europe people take goddamn months off. They was like, look, we want you to feel comfortable. When you come in, feel comfortable. When you leave, be comfortable. Because we want you to be a comfortable at the job. And if you don't like the job, you can quit and then go find another job. Be comfortable. Our mentality is like the Japanese. You are dedicated. You have to be there. If not, you disgrace the company. You disgrace the position that you're in. No, goddammit. I'm entitled to this. When I've negotiated everything that I have, being hired, I'm entitled to 100% of that. 100%. Not 80%. If managers don't take time off, give them less time, right?
Okay.
Give them less time. If you don't want them to take the time, give them less time. But you can't do that.
Well, if you want to be promoted.
Yeah, I want to be promoted, but I also want my vacation in Bora Bora. And that's going to take 2 weeks. And I got 3 weeks. So guess what? I'm gone. See you in 2 weeks. But a man taking a vacation for 2 weeks in Bora Bora is different than I'm taking this week off because my kids are out of school. They don't want to hear that. Men don't want to hear that. That's what they think against them. It's different. Follow me? That's
what okay.
I'm not getting at these women saying, look, I need to have the flexibility. No, they should be saying, I want the flexibility that I'm entitled to. Because I'm entitled to 100% of that shit. When they do it, it's okay. You enjoy it. He's playing golf and, man, he's been off for 2 weeks, but he had a great time. Look at his tan. She's been off. She had to take off for her kids. Not she took vacation. She had to take off for her kids.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing amongst men when they hire women. They that's the main complaint they have.
But they're entitled to it, though.
Yeah, but that's why they use that bias against hiring other women.
I agree. No, I do agree, baby. I totally agree with you.
So but when it comes to women in management, that's where one reason why very few women are in management is the fact there's so much bias. They have a high expectation of them, and women, as we are, we put ourselves on that expectation as well.
They know the feelings of men. They know, even if they took off and it was for their children, you know what they would say? Hey, I'm taking some time off. Oh, what you gonna do? Oh, I'm gonna go see family. And oh, okay, where? Oh, we're off in New England. Oh, okay. Oh, have a good time. And they stay home. They'll be fine with that, baby. Soon as you mention children, that's an issue. Because then they're gonna say, oh boy, she's going, how often is she gonna be out for these kids? That's what they do. Women make accommodations and they do what they gotta do. But men don't wanna hear it. And other women who's in positions, some of them don't wanna hear that either. Well, I sacrificed not having children.
Yeah.
So they got that bias.
Yeah, and if a woman who's don't have a family, yes, there is an issue with the fact that she says, well, I'm a woman who can do it and don't have a family, but you know, you should be able to do the same thing.
Or you can't take a position like this because it's just going to take away from you.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Well, I sacrificed. So I know if I don't have any children and the amount of work that I do, you won't be able to do what I do. Yes, I will. Yeah. So that's all of that. But overall, that's what brought up this conversation is because this documentary kind of deals with it. It didn't go into the details like we just did. But it gave you the level of saying, this is bad, and people aren't addressing it at these companies. It's not being addressed. It's not being addressed in the schools.
No, it's not.
It's not being addressed in the colleges. It's not being addressed. And when it comes up, you got these trolls coming up saying, I ain't got no problem. All I hear is all these complaints from women. They just need to do a better job. Shut the hell up. Shut up and understand there's things that you don't see going.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's going to be a long time before we see some major number changes. Because right now, unless these companies can come up with an idea of bringing more people of color and minorities
and gender,
into their company, like Google. I mean, it's not easy getting into Google, you know. And some people take 2 or 3 times before they go back and interview with Google if they really want to get in. Google's not going to say no as long as you pass the interviewing process.
Right, right.
But anyway, but that's just, you know, overall, the whole situation when you talk about them open up the doors for diversity and inclusion,
right.
You know.
Right.
So what are they going to do to make it work? How are they going to bring more of that diversity into their company?
You just saw that companies need to actually start saying, I can advertise what we have to these women because I'm not getting the resumes from women. Or I can build a little training, a little
apprenticeship program. Yeah, there's a lot of companies starting to do that. Intel.
Remember they did that at when we was in Australia. Remember that right. Guy said he did that.
Yes, he did it. Intel has done it. There's some other companies that are doing it. You're seeing Estes is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them are finding ways to diversify their organization and make it, you know, people fit into their culture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So again, you know, we'll see what happens, what's going on. But again, the movie, the documentary was really good, Code, Debugging the Gender Gap. And it did touch on some major topics that as women we are continuously and talking about, and that is right now going on in the tech news, in the tech community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great documentary. Real glad that Alicia brought this to me because we've been talking about it forever and I didn't realize there was a documentary out there. So it was good to sit down and kind of absorb this in. It's good even for a second look. It's always good as a good reference.
Yes. And right now, because what's going on right now in the media, this is just, it just like, wow, this is what's happening right now. So I'm glad. Thank you everybody for listening. And do you have any more to say, Mr. Carr?
BougieBlackBrother.com. Pick it up. Women in Tech. Go to iTunes. Women in Tech. Get it on the Bougie Black Brother or Straight Women in Tech. And you'll be able to download or BougieBlackBrother.podbean and Coffee Women in Tech. You'll be able to pick it up on Alicia's website as well.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. Bye.
Later.